Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. I am your reader, Ike Rayford, and we will start with the weather, the editorials, local news, and then at 30 minutes after, we will go to our obituaries and then come back to local news, sports, and anything else that we can get in and end with our weather. And so let us start with our weather. So for today, our Siouxland 5-day forecast comes to us with a high of 80 and wind, p.m. shower or thunderstorm, winds out of the west-northwest 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we're looking partly cloudy with wind north-northwest 6 to 12 miles per hour for a low of 44 degrees. And then on Thursday, we have partly sunny, a wind from the south for 6 to 12 miles per hour at a high for 73 degrees and a low of 48 degrees. And then Friday, we have showers in the afternoon, wind. We have a high of 59 and a low of 40 degrees. The wind will be coming from the northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then on Saturday, we have spotty showers in the afternoon, wind, and then the north-northwest wind at 10 to 20 miles per hour and a high of 63 degrees and a low of 39 degrees. And then on Sunday, rounding out our week, we have more clouds than sunshine, also wind, and that's coming from the south-southeast at 8 to 16 miles per hour and a high of 65 degrees and a low of 46 degrees, which means that we're going to probably have some nice days, but the wind is going to be high. Our mini editorial for today is from Frank Grubber of Sioux City, and he says, "The President Hoover believed in a limited role of government. Result, disaster. President Trump hates the role of government. Result, question mark." And again, that's from Frank Grubber of Sioux City. Turning to local interests from the Journal this morning, we have a story from Peggy Cesareno, and it's titled, "Worker at Tyson Plant Dies." Raymond Corral, 64, had tested positive for COVID-19 virus. And this is from Dakota City. A Sioux City woman whose common-law husband died of COVID-19 after working at Tyson Fresh Meats, Dakota City plant, says she believes the company didn't react quickly enough to an outbreak of the novel coronavirus. Raymond Corral, 64, a frontline worker at the beef plant, died Saturday afternoon at his Sioux City home. His wife, Anna Bell, told the Journal Tuesday. Bell said a medical examiner told her Tuesday that Corral had tested positive for COVID-19. "We're deeply saddened by the loss of a team member from our Dakota City plant and are keeping the family in our thoughts and prayers," Tyson said in a statement Tuesday night. Local health officials on Tuesday announced Woodbury County's first death from the virus, but did not identify the individual other than to say it was a male between ages 61 and 80. Bell said her husband started feeling ill about 2 weeks ago, but he continued to report to duty at the sprawling plant, which employs about 4,300 workers. Despite reporting symptoms of the virus, he was not given access to a test, she said. In late February or early March, Tyson gave employees a letter to show to law enforcement if they were stopped on their way to or from work to prove they were classified as essential employees, she said. Although workers at the plant eventually received daily wellness checks, including daily temperature screenings and masks and other protective equipment, Bell believes the company should have made workplace modifications sooner. The temperature check started in late March or early April, she said. "I would say to Tyson officials, it would have been great if you would have treated your employees like human beings instead of just expendable assets," Bell said. Bell, 57, also contracted the virus and was hospitalized Saturday at Mercy One Siouxland Medical Center shortly after her husband was pronounced dead. She was released from the Sioux City Hospital on Tuesday afternoon. Their daughter, Sarah Corral, 20, also of Sioux City, remains hospitalized at Unity Point Health, St. Luke's in Sioux City. Sarah Corral had been placed on a ventilator, but is now breathing on her own. She also tested positive for COVID-19. Each member of the family had underlying medical conditions, which health experts say increases the risk of contracting COVID-19. Ray Correll had high blood pressure and was diabetic. Bell is a cancer survivor who also suffers from an irregular heartbeat and high blood pressure. Their daughter has diabetes. We both had underlying conditions. We were both older. I knew that we were sitting ducks, she said. The first COVID-19 related death in Metro Sioux City comes amid a major surge in positive cases. In Dakota County, home to the Tyson plant, health officials authorities reported 27 new cases Tuesday, raising the total to 96. 10 days ago, the Northeast Nebraska county of about 20,000 people had zero cases. Across the Missouri River, Woodbury County reported 18 and 34 new positive cases in the last 2 days, respectively, raising its total to 93. Local health officials in both counties have repeatedly refused to say whether the recent escalation is linked in any way to the Tyson plant, which is easily the metro's largest employer. Across the tri-state region, several meat plants have emerged as hotspots for the virus. As of Friday, 23 workers at the Dakota City plant had tested positive for COVID-19, according to an official familiar with the situation who spoke to the Journal on the condition of anonymity. Tyson has acknowledged that some workers have tested positive, but has repeatedly refused to disclose a number. In an interview with the Journal Monday, Tyson Fresh Meats Group President Steve Stouffer denied the flagship beef plant was a major source of exposure. Quote, people are led to believe our plant is a vector of community spread, but that is not the case, Stouffer said in the interview. Quote, there is no way of knowing where our community members are getting this, end quote. Bell said the only place her family could have been exposed to the virus was through her husband's workplace. Quote, I am not buying the company line that they weren't a hotspot, Bell said. Quote, they were offering a bonus of $500 if you didn't miss a shift. People wanted that $500. Quote, and considering the majority of the workers there are immigrants who may not understand English as well as they could, my husband had me to tell him what to do. He knew that I was looking out for him, Bell continued. In late March, Tyson announced that $60 million in bonuses to 116,000 frontline workers and truckers as a thank you for their efforts during the pandemic. Eligible workers will receive a $500 bonus payable during the first week of July. Bell said her husband hadn't missed a day of work until early last week. Quote, he did take his last Monday, April 13th, off because he hadn't been feeling well since that Sunday. He was kind of on the perky side. I wouldn't have thought it was COVID-19. We went and paid a few bills and then we went to work Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. He came home Friday about 10:30 a.m. He usually don't get home until around 3:30 or 4 p.m. I heard him come in and I knew something was wrong, Bell said. Correll was required to see a nurse at the plant before leaving Friday. Bell said he had a temperature, but it was within the acceptable range for him to be at work, she said. Quote, when he got home, he was shaking, coughing a lot. His hands were shaking a lot. When he tried to eat something, she said he went back to sleep. She called a COVID-19 hotline where she was advised to call a doctor, but she decided to wait. Quote, I didn't realize he was that bad, she said. He slept most of the day, Friday, in between doses of Tylenol. Correll woke up Saturday morning seeming to be okay. Quote, he was hungry and I made him some food. He snored, so it was hard to tell if he was having trouble breathing or just snoring. It was a little after 2 p.m. and it was time for me to give him his acetaminophen, end quote. Correll begged off, saying he would take it later. Bell went in to the other room and laid down for a nap. About 6:30 p.m., she woke up and went to check on Correll. Quote, he was on his back and there was foam on his lips, she said. I went over and he was cold and he was unresponsive. I called 911. The EMTs arrived a short time later. Quote, there was nothing they could do, Bell said. I started to go into shock and they took me into the ER and I was tested and got the COVID-19 results that same night, end quote. Bell said one of Correll's co-workers called him on Friday after he went home sick, reporting that 25 Tyson plant employees had left their shift early that day. She has spoken with officials at the Dakota City plant since Ray's death. The family was referred to the company chaplain and was told to let officials know if they could help in any way. In early April, Tyson announced it had started taking temperatures of workers at all locations before they enter company facilities. At some locations, including Dakota City, infrared temperature scanners were deployed. Tyson said it also had stepped up deep cleaning and sanitizing of the facilities, especially in employee break rooms, locker rooms, and other areas to protect workers, following federal and state guidelines. Tyson also said it was implementing additional ways to promote more social distancing at the plants. The strategies include erecting dividers between workstations and increasing the space between workers on the production floor. Tyson also called on federal officials to deliver more personal protective equipment for its workers. Bell said her husband dismissed her warnings about the need for social distancing at work, saying it was nearly impossible to practice in a crowded locker room when one shift was ending their day and another was coming online. Quote, "I am never going to find as wonderful a man as my husband was," Bell said. He was a wonderful father. More local news from the front page. Teens to mark Earth Day. And there is a picture of teens planting crops. And this is from Mason Dockett of the Sioux City Journal. Event with proper social distancing near Elk Point, South Dakota. The COVID-19 pandemic more or less terminated the trap shooting season for the Dakota Valley Trap Team. Before it even began, there were no practices, no shooting competitions this year for the nearly 50-member club. It's looking more and more like there probably won't be any. Dan Lederman, the team's head coach and former South Dakota State Senator, had never really put together an Earth Day project previously, but he was inspired by a piece of cover crop legislation introduced by U.S. Senators John Thune, Republican of South Dakota, and Debbie Stabenow, a Democrat of Wisconsin. Cover crops are planted along with regular crops to help enrich the soil, and wildlife usually appreciate them. And he's never seen cover crops in action before. The trap team has gone pheasant hunting expeditions at a hunting lodge and preserve near Elk Point, which uses cover crops that help generate a suitable habitat for the animals. So Lederman hatched a plan for the trap team members to plant beneficial seeds over a plot of land at the Warren Wilderness State Game Production Area in Union County, an Earth Day activity, but one which could be done without too much person-to-person contact. The South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks is partnering with the club for the project. Planting clovers, wildflowers, and the like helps put nutrients into soil. Plants in general also act as a carbon sink. They pull carbon out of the atmosphere as they breathe, and wildlife go wild for these plants. Quote, "I thought this might be a good way for us to get together as a team. It would be a great way for us to do some team building, but also doing something good for the environment and for our wildlife habitat that we actually use," Lederman said. The seeding will take place on Wednesday, which is Earth Day, starting in the morning and running into the afternoon. Siouxland Grass and Forage in New North Sioux City contributed the seeds. A group of 10 teams, each consisting of a trap team member and a parent, will get a bag of seeds with varieties of clover, chicory, alfalfa, and a type of turnip, a commercially available seed mixture intended as forage for deer and turkeys. Bees are also partial to clover and wildflowers, and the plants come back every year for 3 to 5 years. Quote, "It's a good educational activity to teach our youth about responsible land management, being good stewards of the land," Lederman said. The plan is to seed about 5 acres of the 163-acre Warren Wilderness, which is overseen by the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. The parent-child teams will stay within their designated plot to avoid unnecessary contact with others. Face masks are encouraged. Dave Miller, the Trap Club's general manager, said that the Earth Day event has the added benefit of being educational in action, in addition, to being safe. Miller's son, Nicholas, was instrumental in the founding of the team about 4 years ago. Quote, "Part of it is educating them how you can give back to the environment," Miller said. "They need to be not just a walking the fields mentality, but to take ownership." Nick Miller, an engineering student at South Dakota State, who is now a legacy member of the team said that while the nun season this spring has been a disappointment, Wednesday's event is something of a bright spot. Quote, "It was a bummer. That's kind of across the board. A lot of things are being shut down," he said. Quote, "It was kind of relieving that we were able to do something together like this event." Ryan Windinger, regional habitat program manager with the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, said that the safety of the participants in Wednesday's Earth Day event was top of mind for the department. Officials would not have been comfortable with the event if excessive crowding was a factor. One of the biggest things right now is social distancing. And obviously, keeping people safe and keeping people away from each other. But Dan seemed to come up with some pretty good guidelines that match the guidelines that are being shared with everybody, Windinger said. Besides, Lederman's social distancing plan, greatly appreciated as they are by the State Department of Game, Fish, and Parks, Wednesday's event provides a sort of circle of life lesson for the team members. Quote, "They can potentially hunt over this area in the fall, hunt over this food plot in the fall, and maybe harvest a deer as well. So it's kind of a full circle opportunity for them to do something good for Earth Day as well as create some opportunities for wildlife," Windinger said. Today's online poll is, how many hours do you now typically leave your home each day? Yesterday's poll, the question was, have you gathered with family members using Zoom or other video conferencing platforms? The answers was 36% said yes, 64% no, and that was a total of 36 total votes. Also on the Speak Out, and you can sound off on www.facebook.com/SiouxCityJournal. What are some good ideas for celebrating a virtual high school or college graduation? And this is out of Sioux Falls from Associated Press. But Gnome says race event is a bad idea, but won't stop it. And this is, again, from Sioux Falls. Governor Kristi Noem said Tuesday that she does not want people to go to a dirt track race that's scheduled to take place in Jefferson on Saturday, but that she won't do anything to stop them. The race is expected to draw about 700 people. While Noem said the race is a bad idea, she didn't say why she wasn't stopping it. The Republican governor has exercised a light hand on business during the global pandemic, often using her daily briefings to highlight the economic woes felt across the state. She said the state's infection rate is still tracking with her projections, which predict a peak in mid-June. Secretary of Labor and Regulation Marsha Holtman joined the governor at Tuesday's briefing to address what described as an unprecedented surge in unemployment filings. She said about a quarter of people who have tried to file for unemployment have seen delays. Quote, "Patience is wearing thin," she said. The governor said she continues to wait for the final report from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to release recommendations on how to reopen a Smithfield Foods pork processing plant where at least 761 workers became infected with the coronavirus. Two of the employees have died, according to the union representing workers at the plant. Sioux City Police, 9 staff members diagnosed with COVID-19 virus. And this is from Dolly A. Butts of the Sioux City Journal. The Sioux City Police Department said in a statement released Tuesday that 9 staff members have been diagnosed with the novel coronavirus. The department first revealed on April 9th that several employees had tested positive for COVID-19, but it didn't provide the actual number until Tuesday. Last week, Sioux City Police Chief Rex Mueller told the journal that he was one of the infected employees. Besides the police chief, the statement noted that the impacted staff members include a police captain, 2 police lieutenants, a police sergeant, a police officer, and 3 civilians. The affected employees worked in close proximity in 2 offices on the 2nd floor of the police headquarters, according to the statement. Most reported mild symptoms following their diagnosis, with 2 having to seek medical treatment. Since the diagnosis of these individuals, no other officers or employees have been diagnosed with COVID-19, and the department continues to operate with full staffing to respond to 911 calls and provide essential services, the statement said. The department has not identified any of the other employees other than Mueller. According to the statement, These employees have been recovering, and the department is seeing many of them return to work following public health and physician approval. The statement said the department continues to employ policies and procedures to mitigate exposure. Quote, we are working to seek the highest level of caution and safety for our Sioux City Police Department team, as well as the citizens that we serve, end quote. The Sioux City PD also appreciates the outpouring of support and assistance from the community following the discovery of cases within our department. We were overwhelmed with the support of community members and their desire to provide resources to the officers and staff to assist them in staying healthy as they continued their work during the COVID-19 pandemic. More local news. Unity Point Health announces temporary staffing changes. Unity Point Health announced a temporary reduction in hours for certain team members, limited furloughs, and salary reductions for executives. The staffing changes, which are in response to COVID-19, will take place effectively on April 26 and includes Unity Point Health St. Luke's in Sioux City. Like health systems across the nation, Unity Point Health hospitals and clinics are facing unprecedented challenges and volume declines as a result of the global pandemic. That includes pausing elective services, deferring or delaying all capital projects, reducing unnecessary spending, and now implementing additional workforce changes. Quote, the COVID-19 crisis has challenged Unity Point Health as a care provider and as an employer, said Unity Point Health President and CEO Kevin Vermeer in a statement. Quote, while we remain focused on providing the best care possible for our patients, it's critical we conserve our resources wherever possible. These changes in our workforce are needed to ensure we can continue meeting the healthcare needs of our communities into the future, end quote. Unity Point Health is providing resources to affected team members, including continuation of benefits and financial assistance resources where applicable. As we turn over to the opinion page, our opinion, and this is from the Sioux City Journal, and again, the editorial board is Bruce Miller, editor, Michael Gore's editorial page editor, and Dave Driesen, managing editor in news, and Tim Hines, chief photographer. Disclosure, our opinion editorial section represents the consensus view of the Sioux City Journal's editorial board. Opinions expressed in other voices, editorials, and in columns, letters to the editor, and cartoons do not necessarily reflect the view of the editorial board. And our opinion, protests could make bad virus crisis worse. Sad doesn't begin to describe images that emerge from outside the Capitol in Colorado over the weekend of healthcare workers in scrubs and face masks standing in front of vehicles driven by protesters opposed to coronavirus-related restrictions in the state. News stories reported hundreds of protesters participated, some of whom honked at, heckled, and occasionally confronted in physical fashion the healthcare workers who obstructed them. The Denver protest was only one of many such demonstrations in multiple states in recent days. Heroic doctors and nurses fighting the war against COVID-19 on the front line shouldn't have to spend additional time waging a side battle against misguided citizens who can't or won't understand the stakes involved in the pandemic. Among the signs carried by the protesters at the Denver demonstration was this one, facts, not fear. What facts don't you understand? The facts of more than 800,000 cases and more than 43,000 deaths since the first case of coronavirus was confirmed in the U.S. just 3 months ago. The fact no vaccine exists. Look, we understand percolating frustration, even anger. We too are frustrated about the restrictions on our comings and goings. But this crisis is so much bigger than that. This is literally a life and death struggle, and we believe the first priorities in this health emergency should be to protect lives and contain spread of COVID-19. Mass demonstrations of hundreds or thousands not only put protesters who ignore stay-at-home and social distancing orders at risk of contraction, but they also put at risk those with whom they share communities and states who are doing their best to stay healthy by following the rules. In other words, the demonstrators may exacerbate the crisis, producing more and longer restrictions on of the kind that gathered to protest. By extension, These protests will put additional pressure on our overburdened healthcare providers who deserve better. The irony, of course, is this. If, when, Joe or Sue protester in Colorado contracts coronavirus, he or she will run straight to those same healthcare workers they honked at, heckled, and confronted, and will want medical care. And they will receive medical care. Bottom line, the more Americans who embrace "We are in this together," the faster our nation will get a handle on the coronavirus and then begin to take the next important steps toward normalization of our lives. We do have a few letters to the editor. The first one is from Carl Hardy of Sioux City. Because of abortion, he can no more support the Democrat Party. While I have many reservations on Donald Trump continuing as our president in the upcoming 2020 election, I have even greater reservations on electing any Democrat, especially Joe Biden, who is a hypocrite as a Catholic who supports abortion. Many years ago, I changed from being a supporter of the Republican Party because I did not approve of George W. Bush and his destructive policies. As a registered Democrat, I unfortunately turned a blind eye to the pro-choice, pro-abortion policy. No more. With numerous laws in states like New York, which protects abortion of babies up until the end of pregnancy, I can no more support the Democrat Party. I am therefore now a registered Republican. Life is sacred, and taking the lives of innocent babies at any stage of pregnancy is unfathomable. Donald Trump is pro-life and is enacting policies which I feel eventually will overturn Roe versus Wade and defund the evil abortion practices of Planned Parenthood. The only thing they can plan for parents is abortion. Support pro-life. While at last count, 153,000 have died from the terrible COVID-19 virus, and this is tragic. Over 12,500,000 babies aborted already worldwide today, and the number is rapidly rising. When will the unnecessary killing of babies be stopped? And again, that's from Carl Hardy of Sioux City. Our next letter to the editor is from Keith Volstead of Dakota Dunes, South Dakota, and he says, "Local doctor shares thoughts on virus. I am writing as a concerned citizen of Siouxland and surgeon serving the community and surrounding region. This COVID-19 is about to take off and create a spike. It has arrived and will threaten our people, nursing homes, and hospitals. I want to emphasize the importance of distancing and wearing masks and avoiding large gatherings. We all have heard news from other hotspots and learned a lot. Your community hospitals and personnel have been planning for weeks, and now it is the time to practice what has been preached." Again, that letter is from Keith Volstead of Dakota Dunes, South Dakota. You are listening to the reading of the Sioux City Journal for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now, let's turn to today's obituaries. Barbara J. Greneaux. Barbara J. Greneaux, 73, of Sioux City, passed away Sunday, April 19, 2020, at a local hospital. A private family service will be held at Meyer Brothers Morningside Chapel. Burial will be in Memorial Park Cemetery. Online condolences may be made to www.meyerbrotherschapels.com. Ronald C. Larson of Sioux City. Ronald C. Larson, 81, passed away Friday, April 17, 2020, at a local nursing home. A memorial mass will be held at a later date. Interment will be at Calvary Cemetery. Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel is handling the arrangements. Online condolences may be made at www.meyerbrotherschapels.com. Osborne Liaboe, and that's spelled L-I-A-B-O-E. I want to make sure I get that right. And he was from Rock Valley, Iowa. Osborne Ozzy Liaboe, 93, of Rock Valley, died Sunday, April 19, 2020, at Hague Health Center in Rock Valley. Ozzy's family will be holding a private family graveside service at Valley View Cemetery of Rock Valley today, with Pastor Edward Peace officiating. Memorials may be directed to Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Rock Valley, and condolences may be left for the family at www.porterfuneralhomes.com. Rhonda.com. Rhonda R. Wiley of Sioux City. Rhonda R. Wiley, 59, of Sioux City, passed away Monday, April 20th, 2020, from health complications. Private family services will be held Friday. Arrangements are by Waterbury Funeral Services of Sioux City and by the Santee Sioux Nation. Elda M. Warren of Emerson, Nebraska, 92, died Monday, April 20th, 2020. Due to health restrictions, private family services will be held. Arrangements with Munderlo Smith Funeral Homes of Emerson. Marjorie Alice Clausen of Sioux City. Marjorie Alice Alberts Clausen, 96, passed away Thursday, April 16, 2020 at her home in Sioux City. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, private graveside services will be held at Memorial Park Cemetery. A celebration of her life will be held at a later date. Memorials may be addressed to St. James United Methodist Church in Sioux City. Dolores J. Schuff of Lamars, Iowa, 89, died Monday, April 20th, 2020. Due to public health mandate, private family service will be at a later date. Arrangements with the Myra Johnson Funeral Home in Lamars, Iowa. Donald H. Molstad of Hinton, Iowa, 71, died Monday, April 20th, 2020. Celebration of life will be later at a date. Arrangements with Meyer Brothers Colonial Chapel, Sioux City. Barbara Moeller of Weston, Wisconsin, formerly of Sioux City, 90, died Friday, February 7th, 2020. Due to COVID-19 restrictions, celebration of life will be rescheduled for a later date. Lori Thompson of Rowlett, Texas, 58, died Saturday, April 18th, 2020. Due to guidance on COVID-19, private graveside services will be at Hayes Township Cemetery, Arthur, Iowa. Arrangements with Christiansen Van Houten Funeral Home in Ida Grove, Iowa. Virginia A. Holt, and that's spelled H-U-O-T, 88, of Salix, Iowa, died Monday, April 20th, 2020. Services will be at a later date. Arrangements with Waterbury Funeral Services of Sioux, Sergeant Bluff. Arnold A. Anderson of Sioux City, 100, died Sunday, April 19th, 2010. Interment will be at Woodland Cemetery, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Arrangements with Waterbury Funeral Services of Sioux City. Richard Burke, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, formerly of Sioux City, 80, died Monday, April 20th, 2020. Private service followed by burial will be in Memorial Park Cemetery. Arrangements with Christy Smith Funeral Homes, Morningside Chapel. Dolores M. Engel, 95, died Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. Private graveside service, April 23rd, 11 a.m. Woodland Cemetery, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Arrangements with Waterbury Funeral Services of Sioux City. Irene Vundrak, E. Irene Vundrak of Hinton, Iowa, 88, passed away peacefully on Sunday, April 19, 2020, in her sleep at home with her husband of 68 years by her side. Private family graveside services will be at 10:30 a.m. today in Calvary Cemetery. Arrangements are by Waterbury Funeral Services of Sioux City. Edwin Joseph Fleming of Sioux City. Edwin Joseph Fleming, 82, of Sioux City, passed away Monday, April 20th, 2020, at the Josie Harper Hospice House in Omaha, Nebraska. Per Ed's wishes, cremation has taken place and no services are planned at this time. Arrangements are under the direction of Rush Family Care Services, Onawa, Iowa. Condolences may be left online for family at www.rushfamilycareservices.com. Barbara J.S. Kelsey of Sioux City. Barbara J.S. Kelsey, 90, of Sioux City, passed away Monday, April 20th, 2020. A private graveside service will be held Friday at Memorial Park Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Meyer Brothers Morningside Chapel. Online condolences can be expressed at www.meyerbrotherschapels.com. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to Memory Care Renovation Fund Bernstein Campaign at Sunrise Retirement Community, and that is at 5501 Garden Drive, Sioux City, Iowa, 51106. And that is it for our obituaries today. If You are celebrating a birthday today. You are celebrating birthdays with Henry Fielding, Arthur playwright, Immanuel Kant, philosopher, Valdemar Lenin, Soviet leader, J. Robert Oppenheimer, a physicist, Betty Page, model and actress, Aaron Spelling, screenwriter, producer, Glenn Campbell, a singer-songwriter, and then those that are celebrating birthdays today, that would be Jack Nicholson, actor, John Waters, filmmaker, Peter Frampton, singer-songwriter, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, actor, Amber Heard, actress, and Marshawn Lynch, football player, and Machine Gun Kelly, a rapper. And your obituary, or excuse me, your horoscope for today: break old habits and enforce positive change. The harder you push, the more you will accomplish. A partnership must be balanced and fair if it is to thrive. Cleaning up after everyone else won't help you reach your full potential. Be honest and do what's best for you. Happy birthday to all that are celebrating birthdays today. Well, Dear Abby, brain injury alters friends' personality in negative ways. Dear Abby, Stella and I have been close friends for 25 years. 2 years ago, she was in a car accident and suffered a traumatic brain injury. She has since recovered and returned to work. Stella's personality has changed a lot since the accident. Her language and clothing are inappropriate. At 65 years old, her wardrobe now consists of mini skirts, spike heels, over-the-knee lace-up boots, halter tops, etc. She says suggestive things to my boyfriend in front of me. He no longer wants to be around her. Most of Stella's friends have distanced themselves, and her husband has moved out of their home. I remember how close we once were, and I don't want to end the friendship, but I don't think I can tolerate being around her. How can I help her and keep my sanity? Too much change in Texas. Dear Too Much, be gentle with Stella because her change may be beyond her control. Help her by trying to talk frankly with her. Explain how much of her personality and image have changed since the accident, and that some of her actions have made people so uneasy they have distanced themselves. Tell her that her comments to your boyfriend made him uncomfortable and you need to stop. I can't predict how she will react, but you may get through to her. If not, she may end her friendship with you, and you can retain your sanity. Dear Abby, my significant other, Bob, and I have been together for 30 years, never married. The past 10 years of our relationship have not been so good in the bedroom. Bob has ED and refuses to see a professional about it. He is well aware of how unfair it is to me because my sex drive is still in full swing. Would it be wrong to tell him that since he doesn't want to seek help for his problem, I am going to find a friend with benefits? I have reached the point where I want to leave him. If he would get help for his problem, our relationship would improve, and I would be willing to stay. Deprived in Ohio. Dear Deprived, Bob may be so embarrassed about his ED problem that he's afraid to have a frank talk with a doctor about it. It's a shame because in many cases, there is help for it. Because you have reached the end of your tether, discuss your feelings with him as openly as you have with me. If you do, it may jolt him into doing something for himself that he should have done a decade ago. Dear Abby, my mother-in-law passed away a year ago. Since then, my husband and his sister have been letting my father-in-law stay with each of us on different nights. He's with us Friday and Tuesday, and with my husband's sister Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. My father-in-law is healthy and capable of doing everything for himself. I am getting so tired of this arrangement. It is cramping my life in a big way. What do I do? Ruining my life in the South. Start making deer running. Start making plans for yourself on Friday and Tuesday night so you will feel less encroached upon. And introduce your father-in-law to some ladies his age, providing he is willing. Men in his demographic are a hot commodity, and I'm betting that he will be willing. That is it for Dear Abby. Well, turning over to some sports news, the Sioux City Explorers are postponing their season. They are hoping to start the season in early July. Looks like there will be auto racing in North Sioux City. And it says races still have green light. Park Jefferson Raceway to hold races is known, make suggestions. And this is again in North Sioux City. Racing will happen at Park Jefferson Speedway and Raceway Park on Saturday and Sunday. Last week, Park Jefferson Speedway started selling tickets for an Open Wheels National event on Saturday presented by Front Row Challenges Enterprises LLC. All 700 tickets were sold out by Sunday. Then on Monday, Raceway Park, which is located just north of North Sioux City on Interstate 29 and is right next to Park Jefferson Speedway, started to sell tickets for an IMCA event planned for Sunday night. 500 tickets were put on sale, and as of 4 p.m. on Tuesday, less than 100 tickets were still available. We have room enough to put 10 people together and skip rows to follow the CDC guidelines, said Denny Moore, a promoter for Raceway Park. Everyone that comes in the pits or the grandstands will have their temperatures checked, and they will have to wear a face mask, whether it's a bandana or a face mask. We will have a meeting on Sunday to make sure everyone follows the rules. If they don't do these things or we see someone without a mask, we will warn them. The second time, we will eject them. One of the last things that could have stopped Park Jefferson Speedway and Raceway Park from holding their events was South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who was told about the race at Park Jefferson Speedway during her press conference on Monday. Noem said she was unaware of the event and needed to get in contact with race officials. On Tuesday, Noem was asked about the races in North Sioux City again and what she can do about the events. Quote, "If there is anything I can do, I can encourage people not to go. I don't think it's a good idea to attend," Noem said. "It's important to not gather in sizes of more than 10 and continue to social distance." Both Park Jefferson Speedway officials and Raceway Park officials have said if someone does not feel well, to stay away from the event, and those that feel at risk to not come. When pushed on the issue, Noem said the only course of action she was going to take was to continue to recommend people to not attend the races, which are basically sold out. "We are going to continue to carry the same message throughout this entire COVID-19 situation, and that's to continue to stay at home," Noem said. "We did attempt to give counties the same support as cities during state legislation, but it did not go through. From the state level and from what I'm recommending is for people not to go. I would encourage people to stay this course." The event at Raceway Park can be viewed on Advantage Racing TV, which allows single purchase of a subscription and can be bought to watch the races online. The event at Park Jefferson Speedway can be viewed on SpeedShift TV for $29.99. Moore said Race Park has been in contact with the Union County Sheriff's Office during the planning process and is still communicating with the office. "What we see, they are starting to open some things up. The president wants to get things opened up," Moore said. "We talked with the Union County Sheriff's Department and they couldn't see why we couldn't do it as long as we were following the CDC rules. If someone's temperature is high, they are not coming in. We want everyone healthy and have it be a successful thing. We're limiting the grandstands to 500 people, which is less than half of what it can fit. We have it marked out so people can be in groups of 10s and be far enough apart to meet guidelines." Moore added that concession stand employees will be wearing masks and gloves at all tickets for event are pre-purchased. No one can buy tickets the day of the event. The races at Raceway Park will host 5 IMCA sanctioned events and 20 races total. The 5 divisions will be IMCA mods, IMCA stock cars, sports compacts, sports modifieds, and hobby stocks. There will be 3 heats of each division and then 5 feature races. There will be 82 cars total with 30 feet in between car crews in the pit area. The races are scheduled to start at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday. Former NASCAR drivers Kenny Wallace and Ken Schrader are both slated to participate in Sunday's races along with Saturday's events. "We have racers coming from California, North Carolina, all over the country because there is no place to race. Everything is closed," Moore said. "Our races at this track are always exciting. We get a big crowd usually. It's pretty exciting. It's a small track and it's a lot of fun. I have a list of 30 drivers that would like to be included, but I can't include because of the guidelines, so we can't have more. We are at the maximum." In other local news, in our briefs, 1 dead, 2 injured in Dickson County collision. One man was killed and two people received extensive injuries in a two-vehicle collision that occurred Saturday on U.S. Highway 20 near mile marker 404. According to the Dixon County Sheriff's Office, Rodney Bresley, 66, of Windside, Nebraska, was traveling east on Highway 20 at 1:38 p.m. when his Ford Mustang collided with a westbound Ford F-150 driven by Benjamin Galvin, 53, and with Terry Galvin, 48, both of Laurel, Nebraska, as a passenger. The Ford F-150 caught on fire as a result of the collision and caused a small grass fire near the accident. Breezley, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene. The Galvins were both wearing seatbelts at the time of the crash. They were taken to Mercy One Siouxland Medical Center with serious injuries. The accident is still under investigation by the Dixon County Sheriff's Office and Nebraska State Patrol. Allen Fire and Rescue, Wakefield Fire and Rescue, Dixon Fire and Rescue, Martinburg's Fire and Rescue, and first responders, Wings 1 Helicopter, Life New Helicopter, Dixon County Sheriff's Office, and Nebraska State Patrol all responded to the accident and fire. Man dies after tractor rollover in northwest Iowa. May City, Iowa. Authorities said a man died from injuries after a tractor rollover in a rural Osceola County ditch. A release from the Osceola County Sheriff's Office said Kenneth Borsensen, 77, of Hartley, died in the accident, which took place just before noon Monday. The release said the wreck occurred in the 6500 block of 240th Street, southwest of May City. Borsensen was found by deputies under the tractor and pronounced dead at the scene. They said it appears Borsensen was transporting a section of an old loader with his loader bucket raised when he tipped over into the ditch with the tractor, which then rolled over on top of him. A local Sioux City Journal story from Earl Horlick's Sioux City Schools to schedule May virtual commencement. Even though the Sioux City Community School District won't be hosting traditional commencement ceremonies for its graduating seniors in May, virtual ceremonies will be held instead. Due to COVID-19 concerns, a large-scale ceremony isn't currently possible. Instead of a virtual commencement, program will be taking place for each of the three high schools at the Tyson Event Center on the originally scheduled graduation date, May 23rd. Each of the three virtual ceremonies will include speeches from Superintendent Paul Gosman, the building principal, and representatives from the graduating class. At the ceremonies, each student's name will be read individually while a screen view shows the student's photo and information. It will be shared on the district's website, on Facebook, as well as on Twitter. In addition, Gosman recommended that graduating seniors take time to put on their cap and gown on May the 23rd. Take a selfie, post that photo on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram using hashtag SCCSD2020GRAD. Again, that's hashtag SCCSD2020GRAD. He said, together we will flood social media with our collective celebrations, just like you would on traditional graduation day. Despite the challenges caused by the worldwide pandemic, the school district felt that it still needed to recognize the graduates in May, as their K-12 education comes to an end. The virtual commencement will be in addition to in-person graduation ceremonies that are tentatively planned this summer when safety concerns for large gatherings have been lifted. I respect our seniors in the class of 2020 as they have continually shown their ability to overcome adversity, Gosman said in the letter. Quote, your bright future will be evidence of your resilience, end quote. Couple of national and world briefs. Senate panel, Russia interfered with 2016 election out of Washington. A bipartisan Senate report released Tuesday affirms the U.S. intelligence community's conclusions that Russia interfered in the 2016 presidential election in a far-ranging influence campaign approved by Russian President Vladimir Putin and aimed at helping Donald Trump win the White House. The report rejects Trump's claims that the intelligence community was biased against him when it concluded that Russia had interfered on his behalf in the election. It says instead that intelligence officials had specific information that Russia preferred Trump in the election, that it sought to degenerate Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton, and that Putin had approved and directed as aspects of the Kremlin's influence campaign. Senators warned that the interference could happen again this presidential election year. Trump vows to suspend immigration. again out of Washington. Returning to a divisive issue at a time of national crisis, President Donald Trump says he will sign an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. Because of the coronavirus, in light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. Trump tweeted late Monday. He offered no details about which immigration programs might be affected by the order. And by Tuesday afternoon, the White House had yet to release any details on its contents or timing. Much of the immigration system has already ground to a halt because of the pandemic. Almost all visa processing by the State Department has been suspended for weeks. Travel to the U.S. has been restricted from much of the globe, including China, Europe, Mexico, and Canada. And Trump has used the virus to effectively end asylum at U.S. borders, turning away even children who arrive by themselves, something Congress, the courts, and international law hadn't previously allowed. Briefly, North Korea. South Korean officials reported no unusual activity in North Korea on Tuesday following unconfirmed media reports that leader Kim Jong-un was in fragile health after surgery, but the possibility of high-level instability raised troubling questions about the future of a nuclear-armed state that has been steadily building an arsenal meant to threaten the U.S. mainland amid stalled talks between Kim and U.S. President Donald Trump. Euthanasia. The Netherlands' highest court ruled Tuesday that doctors can carry out euthanasia in patients with advanced dementia if the patient has earlier made a written directive. The Supreme Court ruling solidifies in law a practice that already was being carried out on rare occasions in the Netherlands. Financial markets. Oil prices crumbled even further Tuesday and U.S. stocks sank to their worst loss in weeks. The crumbling oil market helped drag stocks to their second straight day of losses, and the S&P 500 lost 3.1% for its worst drop since April 1st, following similar declines across Europe and Asia. Wisconsin. Health officials in Wisconsin said Tuesday they have identified at least 7 people who have contracted the coronavirus from participating in the April 7 election. Meanwhile, Republicans who control the Wisconsin legislature asked the state Supreme Court to block an extension of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' stay-at-home order. SBA. The Small Business Administration reported a potential data breach last month in its website that handles disaster loan applications. The agency said Tuesday that the personnel information of nearly 8,000 business owners applying for economic injury disaster loans were potentially seen by other applicants on the SBA website on March 25th. Presidential debates. Preparation for the 2020 general election debates are proceeding according to schedule despite the coronavirus outbreak. The Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates said in a statement Tuesday that it will continue to monitor and assess developments regarding public health and safety as debate planning proceeds. Canadian shooting. Canadian police said Tuesday they believe there are 22 victims after a gunman went on a rampage in rural communities across Nova Scotia over the weekend. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said they have recovered remains from some of the locations of the fire set by the gunman, who also died. All right. Well, that does it for today's reading, and like I said, we'll end with our weather. Again, today we have a high of 80 degrees, some showers or thunderstorms, winds from the west-northwest for 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight we are partly cloudy for a low of 44 degrees, north-northwest winds at 6 to 12 miles per hour, and tomorrow partly sunny for a high of 73 degrees, again windy. Winds will come from the south, 6 to 12 miles per hour, and a low of 48 degrees on Thursday. Friday, we have showers in the afternoon for a high of 59 degrees, and the wind also coming from the northwest for 10 to 20 miles per hour, and then we have a low of 40 degrees. Saturday, we have spotty showers in the afternoon and for a high of 63 degrees and a low of 39 degrees. Again, there is wind, and that's coming from the north-northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then on Sunday, we have more clouds than sunshine for a high of 65 degrees and a low of 46 degrees. Winds again will be coming from the south southeast at 8 to 16 miles per hour. And that does it for today's reading of the Sioux City Journal for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. I am your volunteer reader, Ike Rayford. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thank you for listening.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay! Ready.
My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing, it really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.